Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.CO.
This episode brought to you by Repenting Roses, the flower delivery service that repairs your relationships. Come on, guys. We know why you really buy roses, and it isn't for anniversaries. It's for when you fuck up. At Repenting Roses, they'll do the heavy relationship lifting for you. You don't even have to know when you did something wrong. Repenting Roses will monitor the social media feeds of your wife, mistress, and other loved ones for cryptic passive-aggressive comments. You might not know what they're talking about, but we all know it was probably your fault. When Repenting Roses senses that you have fucked up, they will send out 2 dozen roses with a heartfelt message in your handwriting. Sign up for Repenting Roses today at whatido.com. It's cheaper than alimony. Hello, and welcome to Horror Movie Talk, an opinionated and accidentally funny horror movie review show. Your schlubby hosts each week are Bryce Hansen, the cool, collected nihilist, and David Day, a cool guy who is always cool. New theatrical releases always get priority, but we also review older horror movies that are good and horrorable. I'm Bryce Hansen.
And I'm a cool guy who is always cool.
Welcome, everyone, to the show. Check out our website at horrormovietalk.com, and while you're there, please take our audience survey. You're going to hear us say this in the show for the next couple months. We're taking a survey of our listeners, and we'd like you to participate. It'll help us learn more about you, no matter how long you've been a listener or how frequently you listen to the show. So please take a minute and visit our website at horrormovietalk.com. You'll find the listener survey link right on the main navigation bar on the website, and also if you're in the episode post, it'll be on the sidebar at the top. You can complete the survey anonymously. Thanks.
Yeah.
Also,
thanks, guys.
Yeah, check us out on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook. Just search for Horror Movie Talk, Horror Movie Talk Podcast on Facebook. We post episodes every Wednesday. Give us a subscribe and a review.
Yeah.
All right. Today we'll be talking about Suspiria, the new one. We'll start out by giving a brief review and our score for the movie. We score on a scale of 1 to 10, 5 being average, 1 being bad, and 10 being good. After we give our score, we'll get into a discussion about the movie and mark out when we're going to start talking about spoilers and take a deeper dive into what we liked and hated about the movie. Later, we'll also be doing a couple bits. We'll be doing taglines for the movie. That's where we come up with taglines that we think fit better, and horror movie news. Thanks again for listening. Let's get into the show.
Oof, Suspiria.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, we went and saw Suspiria last Thursday, and there is a lot to unpack with this one.
Oh my God.
Here's the trailer.
At the beginning, she gave me things. Perfect balance. Perfect sleep. Oh, she wants to get inside of me. I can feel her. Oh, she can see me.
dance the dance of another. You make yourself in the image of its creator.
I feel like I'm not even here yet.
The template's incredible.
One, two, three.
The way she transmits her work.
You have to decide. What is it you want to be for this company?
There's more in that building than what you can see, Doctor.
You are living with us, dangerous people.
Three mothers. Three God, three devil. Mother Tenebrarum, Mother Lacrimarum. Mother Suspiriorum. Darkness. Tears. And sighs.
You're making some kind of deal with them.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
So yeah, Suspiria can be found in select theaters now. I think it's about 250 theaters across the U.S., and I assume it's going to have some kind of wide release eventually. People are going to be talking about this a lot.
just going back and listening to that trailer, oh my god, it gives me the creeps.
Yeah, I watched the trailer, and I didn't realize how much they show in the trailer in terms of like one of the more disturbing sequences, and anyways,
this movie makes me physically upset.
Right,
very upset.
Yeah, the experience was very interesting sitting next to David because he was very uncomfortable, like squirming. Anyways, we'll get more into that. Suspiria takes place in the politically tumultuous 1977 Berlin, and follows a young woman, Susie Banyan, played by Dakota Johnson, seeking out her dream to dance in the famed Tanz Dance Academy under her idol, Madame Blanc, played by Tilda Swinton. Not everything is right in the Dance Academy. The movie opens with a frantic and distressed dancer, Patricia, played by Chloe Grace Moretz, which was surprising me. I didn't recognize her. She was visiting her psychiatrist, Dr. Joseph Klemperer, played by Lutz Ebersdorf. We'll get to him later.
Yeah.
Patricia's frantic and panicked statements about the academy come off as schizophrenic and delusional to Dr. Klemperer, but are an omen of things to come. We find out that the dance studio is undergoing a crisis of leadership as the company is split between having the unseen founder, Helena Marcus, continue as the president? I can't remember what it was. Director? I don't know.
Yeah, there was a lot of
I just can't remember what the title that they're electing to.
I can't remember.
Or Madame Blanc, the artistic director. As Susie gets integrated into the dance studio and quickly ascends to principal dancer, Dr. Klemperer and another dancer named Sarah, played by Maya Goth, investigate what is going on at Tanz Dance Academy. Lots and lots of concurrent plots and protagonists in this movie. So we'll have a lot to talk about.
It's complex.
And it's 2.5 hours long. So, yeah. I mean, there's a great quote from Tilda Swinton that I'll play later. This is undeniably a good movie, but depending on your taste and comfort level, it might not be worth seeing. David was highly disturbed by this movie.
Yeah, this movie, like, it's ruined the last couple days for me since seeing it. Like, it's just stuck with me and made me upset.
Yeah, it deals with many different concepts at once. and features many concurrent protagonists. So there's a lot going on at the same time. At 2.5 hours, there's plenty of time to explore the characters and themes, but I still came away with questions about what exactly I just witnessed.
Yeah.
While trying to navigate the labyrinthian plot, the viewer is exposed to some of the most disturbing body horror in recent memory, and the film is very dark, paranoid, and nihilistic. The acting is superb and fills in the gaps of the script that really doesn't do you a lot of favors in spelling out what's going on. And in the end, I think it's a very effective film that should stick with you and give you plenty to talk about with your friends. I gave it a score of 8 out of 10.
I don't disagree with that score at all. In fact, I might, like, I could be convinced to go to 9 or maybe even a 10. Like, personally, I will never watch this movie again, ever. This is such a... It's a lot of things. This movie is a lot of things, and one of them is interesting, and another one is complex, and probably the third most notable one is, like, kind of too complex, and it stands for so much. You know, there's so much subtext going on.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of analogy and metaphor going on.
Yeah, like sociopolitical commentary that you want to know what does this mean?
Yeah.
What is all this? Like, what's the head that this is coming to?
Right. Well, let's get into the discussion points. We'll start out discussing just general stuff, and once we get into spoilers, we'll make sure to let you know. Okay, first thing to talk about, and we've already started talking about, is how uncomfortable this movie made David feel. So we went and saw it at 9:30, which is usually past David's bedtime. This was my theory of why David was so uncomfortable.
Cue the gaslighting.
Because he was, like, what time do you usually go to bed?
Oh, usually like 10 or 10:30.
Yeah. Yeah. So it started at 9:30 and ended at midnight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then David was drinking a couple beers, because they offered that at the theater.
And Sober October just got done.
Yeah. And about halfway through, David was squirming around and sighing like a toddler that was watching, like, a drama.
It was not because I was... I did not want to be there anymore. It was so upsetting to me to sit through this movie. Think of the most upsetting movie.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For you that you've ever seen. Okay, like, all the ones that come to mind for me, I realized recently after this movie, I was like, this is more upsetting than Requiem for a Dream. This is more upsetting than Pi. This is more upsetting than Mother. And then I realized, oh, those are all Darren Aronofsky movies.
So it's more disturbing than the Darren Aronofsky movie.
Yeah, this is more upsetting than Mother, which is hard to do, and Requiem, which is hard to do.
Yeah, I don't agree with... I was impacted way more by Requiem for a Dream, but also, when I saw that, I wasn't jaded, so it probably had more impact at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. For me, the characters... it might have been that I was just really focused on taking notes and trying to unravel what was going on, that I wasn't really being affected by what was happening to the characters.
I wanted to stop watching this movie immediately.
Well, how many times did you leave the theater, and how many of those were just to collect yourself?
2. And No, it was one to get a beer and another to go to the bathroom. So it wasn't like it, like I wanted to, like I'm.
Because I thought you left three times. I remember after we were driving home, you said that you were nauseous at one point.
I thought
you had left the theater just to like get some air.
this was such an upsetting film for me. I just, it was, yeah. I did not leave to get some air. It just made me feel ill. Which is not usual. Like, actually, I shouldn't say that. It is something that happens to me. You know, like if I'm looking at like a YouTube video of somebody high up, you know, those videos where they're like balancing on a crane on a skyscraper or something like that, that makes me nauseous. And this this did a similar kind of thing to me, where it was like I just had to sit there and watch this horrible body horror happening.
Ugh. Yeah, it was unexpected. Like, I was not prepared for the amount of body horror that was in this movie. Sorry. Body
horror
that was in this movie. Because, I mean, it just looks like a movie about witches in a dance studio. It's like, and there's a big pointy thing. So you're assuming it's like a slasher or something. But not like a, like, full-on Cronenbergian.
Let's put your body in a trash compactor and just fuck you up. Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, your mileage may vary. Just hopefully, if you listen to us talk about it, you'll get a better sense of whether you'll enjoy it or not. But it is a great movie.
Yeah. It's definite. I can't deny that there's all the elements of, you know, a long-standing classic. And one of those is definitely the score.
Yeah, Thom Yorke is the music director for this, I guess. He did the score and all the music for it. It was a great fit.
Yeah,
I thought he was a perfect choice for it. This is the first score he's done. If you don't know, Thom Yorke is the lead singer in Radiohead, my favorite band. And his bandmates, both Johnny Greenwood, is a pretty famous film composer now.
Yeah.
He did There Will Be Blood and a couple other P.T. Anderson movies. I think he did The Master and something else. Anyways, he's a known film composer now. And Phil Selway, the drummer, also did a film score on One last year.
Wow, I wonder how does a drummer land something like that, you know?
I mean, they're all great musicians. Like,
I'm not saying they're not. It's
I don't doubt that any of them couldn't pull it off. But yeah, this is Thom Yorke's first time scoring a movie, and I really, really like the soundtrack. I was surprised at how little you could hear in the movie. It was pretty sparse in terms of music.
That's something that I was going to mention.
Yeah.
Which is, like, during the movie, I was like, what soundtrack? Like, that was my thought. Uh-huh. I was like, what's going on here? But upon re-listening to that trailer and having such a I didn't sit here and watch a trailer. I'm just like you guys at home or in the car or wherever you're listening to us. I was just listening to that trailer as it played. And I was it made me not happy. Like, all those audio cues were very effective in bringing me right back to where the most uncomfortable parts of that movie took place.
Right. I'm pretty sure you can listen to the whole soundtrack on Spotify right now. The best track is Volk, which is heavily featured in the trailer, but it's the music that the main dance is done to.
Simple, discordant.
Yeah.
Upsetting.
Yeah, and it's very, yeah, it's really good. But also, he's got another couple like actual songs where he sings on it, and then just other interstitial music. But the only time I really noticed it was there's a song at the beginning, and there's the Volk music, and then there's the song at the end. And it didn't really stand out anywhere else in the movie, but I'm sure, just like any other film score, like, you don't notice sometimes.
I was pretty keyed in, like, the whole movie. I kept waiting, so I was listening very, just a lot to the track, and I do recall a few times where Thom Yorke's voice entered the movie,
right?
And I was like, oh yeah, I mean, but all those were pretty light,
Yeah.
Like the parts where he's singing, doing his Thom Yorke thing, it was like a respite from
all
of the horribleness that was going on. So yeah, I think they all made it in there for sure, but
yeah, it's
less impactful in places and much more in others.
Yeah, Thom Yorke's voice is very light and it's deceptively weak sounding,
mm-hmm.
but it's also like packs a lot behind it in terms of like sadness,
emotion,
and then he can go pretty big when he wants to.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that was one thing I want to talk about because I love Thom Yorke.
It's that long drawn out whine that's like sorrow,
right?
And this movie is full of sorrow and regret and terror.
Yeah.
And like this movie is just underlined by this strong feminine like angst.
Yeah. Ugh. And then just sudden terror.
Yeah. And then yeah, exactly. It was very effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get this out of the way first. We're not making a whole bit, but there was a Bryce called it moment that I didn't actually turn to David about, but I did write it down in my notebook, and you can double check it. It's on like the second page of the notebook, because when the doctor, Klemperer, is on the screen.
Can't we just call him Klemper? Why is it Klemperer?
Klemperer.
Yeah, everything is in German needs to be like much more audibly confusing and mushed up than it needs to be.
Anyways, when Dr. Klemperer was on the screen, I wrote down, Dr. Klemperer reminds me of Bad Grandpa.
certainly does.
So Johnny Knoxville in old makeup. Like, it was very... I mean, it was very good, but it was also something's off.
And part of it is, yeah, part of it is the sound coming out of his mouth.
Well, I didn't notice that until later, but I saw the makeup and I was like, all right, that's got it. Who's playing that? Because it looks like they're aging whoever it is a lot.
Yeah.
And then later in the movie, when he's talking to the police. And he's, like, in the stairway. And all of a sudden, like, I realize, like, his voice is really, really thin and high.
Yeah.
Like, it's not an old... I mean, it's more than just an old man's thin, high voice. It's like, is this guy played by a woman? Like, is that a woman? Is that why there's so much makeup? And lo and behold, this isn't really a spoiler because it's, like, a production spoiler. It's not... doesn't have anything to do with the plot. But it was played by Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, that's fucking wild.
Like, I was like, oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's credited, credited in the movie is a guy named, what's his name? Lutz Ebersdorf.
Yeah.
And apparently the translation for Ebersdorf is swine town in German. So Swinton.
Oh, okay.
So... So it's Tilda Swinton playing him. So that takes us into our next point. So in this movie, there's four main protagonists, and I got a clip of Tilda Swinton talking about that briefly.
It felt very novelistic. I mean, that's one of the things I really like about it. The fact that actually you're following at least four protagonists. It's not what they call dominant Hollywood narrative, you know, 2018 style. It's not about this one avatar that you follow throughout, which is, to my mind, a bit of a waste of what cinema can do.
So, yeah, those four protagonists that she's talking about is there's Susie, like who you'd expect to be the main protagonist, the young American dancer that comes in.
Yeah.
There's Dr. Klemperer. There's Madame Blanc, which is played by Tilda Swinton. She's not really a main character, but you can tell like she's going through some stuff.
Madame Blanc, she's a main character.
Yeah.
She's the most upsetting part of this whole thing for me.
And then Sarah, there's another dancer, which...
she's the one who gets uprooted.
No, she's the one that, like...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That starts investigating.
Right.
And she's the one that finds, like, the hidden rooms and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Dr. Klemperer is kind of the real innocent in this movie.
Right. The only male.
Yeah. Who
is not a male.
Yeah.
In truth.
There's only two.
We're outside the Travel Agency, a cannabis store that's got everyone buzzing.
I've been to dispensaries all over the United States, but I've never seen one this unique.
So nice. Amazing vibe.
Some of the best customer service I've had in a store.
Blows my expectations out of the water.
Come down to the Travel Agency and see for yourself. For use only by adults age 21 and older. Keep out of reach of children and pets. In case of accidental ingestion or overconsumption, contact the National Poison Control Center. Consume responsibly.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Two actual males that are actual characters, and they're police.
Yeah.
They're the two policemen that show up.
Well, Dr. Klemperer.
And Dr. Klemperer.
Who is not actually a male, right?
So out of the three men, one of them isn't actually played by a man.
And the other two are authority figures of the state.
Yeah, bit parts. So Dr. Klemperer, the main B-plot is him grieving the loss of his wife at the end of World War II, trying to get her out of Berlin, and he doesn't know whatever happened to her. Dr. Klemperer is the skeptic in the movie. A couple quotes from him that kind of act as like the voice of reason,
mm-hmm.
and kind of call into question whether, like, all right, is this actually a thing, or is this just kind of delusional stuff coming from people that are talking to him? So he says stuff like, a delusion is a lie that tells a truth. Love and manipulation, they share houses very often. They're constant bedfellows. And then another quote is, you can give others your delusion. This is religion.
Ugh.
So he was like, just basically saying like, yeah, there's probably stuff going on, but it's really just kind of probably creepy ritual stuff and not necessarily like supernatural.
Right. Oh, Dr. Klemperer.
Oh, how little do you know?
You poor man. You poor woman, man.
Yeah. About Susie, I think this might be one of the reasons why you were much more disturbed than I was, because a lot of what you talked about was the corruption of innocence as being disturbing,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think Susie was an innocent, not in this movie, because she seemed like a very willing participant, and when stuff came up, she was all about hopping on board and accepting.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, we're getting into spoilers. We'll leave that off until later. But let's talk about production design. abandoned hotel is where they shot it. And it's in Berlin. The colors were very muted. There's no real like primary colors. It's all brown and 70s faded colors.
Yeah.
So not only is it 70s colors, but it's like today's 70s colors.
Right.
That's like chipped off and stuff.
Yeah.
I wrote down, it made me feel like the Cheer Up Charlie part of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
The first worst half of the movie.
Right. Where you just feel dirty and you're like, ugh.
It felt
old
people
in beds together. This is wrong and gross.
Yeah, the whole movie felt that way in production design.
Yeah.
And it was very Soviet bloc, commie sort of style architecture, just very harsh and a lot of angular stuff, a lot of mirrors being used as centerpieces of
like,
the room.
Not real like flat mirrors, like just kind of like secondhand mirrors that, you know, are kind of strung together but don't really go together.
You know that really old person's house that you walk into that still feels like 1964? This is that feeling. And that smell. Like, the movie smells like that person's house.
You could... this movie is washing clothes in a tub with an oar.
Oh, yeah.
Man, production
that's
design.
Way too accurate.
Yeah. The direction, the movie was directed by Luca Guadagnino. I don't know if I'm saying
Guadagnino.
That right. And that's the only time I'm going to say it because I'm not going to remember a name that long. Yeah. We'll call him Luca. Anyways, he's a great director. There's a lot of stuff in here that was just very, a lot of the unease and disturbing sense that you get from the movie is just from the direction. There's some cuts that are just disorienting and like jump cuts where the person was at one place in the room and now they're at another. Like it's just very kind of plays with your sense of time and space and use of kind of crane shots and zooms in a way that hasn't really been done for a while. And so it feels very 70s and experimental.
Yeah, this, you know, the more I think about this, the more it reminds me of like a super indie, like almost like a film student piece of someone who's trying to edge, to show their edge so much that I don't know how to explain it better than that. Like this, like something that wouldn't be seen very much, like almost like a snuff film.
Well, I mean the phrase that you would use is art house.
Yeah.
It's definitely an art house horror movie. I wouldn't go as far to say it's like a student film because that to me denotes that it's shitty.
Yeah. I don't mean student film in that it's like, it's amateurish or anything like that. I mean, whoever is releasing this feels as though they can go balls to the wall on everything and be as crazy
right.
as they want, and people will respect it.
Yeah, it's very very similar to Aronofsky in that it's pretty experimental and it pushes the edge in terms of just how uncomfortable you can make someone with just editing and direction.
What about the acts?
Yeah, the movie was in 6 acts. I read it as 8 acts, but my eyes are going bad. So there's 6 acts in the movie, and these are the titles of the act. I didn't get act 1. I don't know if you wrote that down or if it
actually
had a title. So act 1, act 2 is Palaces of Fear, act 3 is Borrowing, act 4 is Taking, act 5 is The Floors Are Darkness, and then act 6 is Suspiriorum. And then there's an epilogue called A Sliced Up Pear. So I just put that down there because I wrote those and I wanted to say them.
What does Suspiria mean? Does it mean something? Is it the name of the place?
No, it's one of the gods. I mean, it was in the trailer.
3 Maslows. 3 God. 3 Devil. Maslow Tenebrarum. Maslow Lacrimarum. And Mother Suspiriorum. Darkness, tears, and sighs.
Ugh.
So Suspiria is, or Mother Suspirium is the mother of sighs. Like, ah. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. I get it.
All right. Let's get into
spoilers.
So, yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about Susie. So, yeah, she didn't come off as innocent to me because she was very willing and ambitious throughout this movie.
That's
like,
fair.
She was all on board. And even when, like, she could see that, hey, stuff is really fucked up here and people are kind of dropping like flies and what's going on, she's like, yeah, I'm fine because I'm moving up the ranks a lot and I'm getting to talk with my idol.
Right. And, you know, it's never hinted at that you're kept here without your free will, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can leave.
Right.
I mean, it feels like there's a spell on everyone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say, but with that
I
being
mean,
said.
I mean, she just basically magically has abilities that she'd never had before in terms of dance.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, this feels really weird, and I'm completely exhausted and feel like I'm being used, but I'm getting what I want.
Let's ride this out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So throughout the movie, there's definite, like, psychic abilities from the witches in terms of helping Susie. So when she auditions, you can see them kind of turn their heads, and they can either feel Susie dancing, or they can, like, sense her breathing or something, and then they all of a sudden appear at the audition. So there's like, hints of supernatural stuff going on early on. Pretty early on, there's, like, a transfer of knowledge or ability to Susie. Like,
yeah.
Tilda Swinton touches her hands and feet. Like, there's some weird light effect, which, I mean, if I was the person getting touched by Tilda Swinton and a weird light appeared and dispersed on my hands,
I'm out of there forever.
First of all, somehow I wouldn't be surprised because it's Tilda Swinton. I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. But I'd also be alarmed that she did that to me.
I would run.
Want to know what she did.
I would run forever.
Yeah.
All I could think of the whole way through this movie is, can you imagine waking up next to Tilda Swinton every morning and having those fucking eyes staring at you? Ugh. Oh, can you imagine waking up and going to the bathroom at night and seeing her laying there and be like, oh, good God, you're creepy looking.
I said that there's one missed opportunity with using Tom York as the composer for this movie is that they didn't do a music video where Tom York and Tilda Swinton just looked into the camera.
I wouldn't have watched it.
Because that would have been the creepiest video ever. I mean, I love Tilda Swinton, and, like, I am endlessly fascinated at watching her. Like, I'm not disturbed by her. Because she's really enigmatic, and she's a great actress. She's able to bring a lot of, like, subtlety to her roles in terms of, you know, she can play very strong. Like, in this movie, she's a very strong character and a...
very strong three characters.
Yeah, dominating presence, but also you can see that there's a lot of vulnerability in her.
Yeah.
Just through her eyes and how she reacts and her expressions, and it's very, very effective. Like, she's a great actress. I can't think of anything that I've seen her in that I wasn't really impressed with what she brought to it.
You know, that's interesting. It she does bring a feel, right? She brings, like, a feminine how, like, kind of some sort of domineering, almost like Charles Bronson in Bronson, you know, how opposite in an opposite way in her own way, but you know how Charles Bronson would bring, like, just this swagger, or Sean Connery would bring, like, this energy, this mm-hmm. masculine energy into all their stuff, where it was like, wow, like,
yeah, like overpowering charisma,
right?
Like, it's like, I can't, this is uncomfortable to watch because I'm overpowered by this person's
right.
life energy.
Right. And she brings that in a different form, obviously, in her own, like, flavor of whatever energy she's bringing. It's palpable to everyone sitting there and experiencing it.
Yeah. And she's, the other thing is, if you watch interviews with her, she is sharp as a tack. She's yeah. a really, really intelligent and funny.
Yeah.
Like, she's really funny on interviews. And so I think that's kind of what undercuts my unease, because, yeah, she plays some pretty disturbing characters, or really, like off-putting characters that are a little too real.
Yeah.
And seeing her in real life and how she reacts, you're like, oh, okay. She's just really super intelligent, and she is bringing, you know, a lot of nuance to these characters.
Yeah.
My favorite roles with her, she was great in We Need to Talk About Kevin. That's a super disturbing movie.
Yeah.
And, like, the funnest role that she's had for me was in Constantine. She was Angel Gabriel. So she was playing another male role. And that was just great casting, because You can totally believe that Tilda Swinton, she's kind of like a, you know, sexless in terms of, like, David Bowie.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, he's a guy, but, you know, like, if he was appeared as a woman or something, it's like you would...
No one would be bothered by that, regardless of how acceptable that is at the moment. Like, everybody's just like, yeah, that's what he is.
Right.
Or what she is.
Right.
You know, that's the second time... You're the second person in recent memory who has been like, Constantine was good to me. Justin, our friend Justin, also very much enjoyed 2005 Constantine. And which is surprising to me because I just remember walking away from that movie being like, what a piece of shit. Like, this movie was bad and boring. But as it turns out, and I thought, no, there's no one, this is going to be such a forgettable film. But two people whose opinions I respect very much have been like, Constantine, bro. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it's very stylistic, and it's, I thought it was one of Keanu Reeves' better roles in terms of what he brought to the acting in it. I mean, Keanu does not have a very large palette, especially compared to Tilda Swinton or someone.
Yeah, not a fair pair up.
But yeah, I thought it was fun and good. I think David is too close to the source material. It's based off of a comic, and you probably read the comics, right?
You knew
the backstory and like the mythology of it and stuff like that, which is probably the more interesting part to me, of just like how they treated those themes. And like, I always get a kick out of how people treat the afterlife in movies, you know, because you can go lots of different ways with it. You can do, you know, funny, you can do cynical, you can do like very poignant.
Yeah.
You know,
it just felt like a nothing to me.
Yeah.
It was just like, meh.
Well, Tilda Swinton in it was great. She's
Galadriel.
No, she was Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Angel Gabriel.
Thinking Galadriel of the West.
Mm-hmm. No, that was Kate Blanchett. Yeah. I thought that Tilda Swinton had played Bob Dylan in that movie
where 23 people played Bob Dylan.
Yeah, but that was Kate Blanchett.
Oh.
So.
Wait, 23 people played him, right? That a lot of people played Bob Dylan in that movie.
Yeah, I don't think it was 23, but it was a lot.
Huh.
But Kate Blanchett was like the 60s Dylan, like right as he was blowing up.
Getting into...
And she did a great job. But yeah, I guess that wouldn't make sense as Tilda Swinton, because Tilda Swinton is like really tall.
Anyway, so Suspiria.
Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there's a power struggle in the Academy. There's an election where they're trying to decide who's going to lead the Academy, and it's split pretty much down the middle. There's like a difference of a couple votes between Marcus and Blanc.
Madame Blanc.
And we never see Marcos, but we see pictures of her. She's this old woman in goggles. And like
hag-like.
But all of the action around the nefarious witch stuff and what's going on with Susie is related to Marcus somehow, because it's stated that Marcus will live. We found the right girl in time. So somehow they're going to eat up this girl, Susie,
to the
benefit of Helena Marcos, the leader of this dance troupe.
Yeah, they're basically succubus. Like, they're pulling the life of these young women with their powers.
It's pretty obvious early on that there are actual witches. There is some sort of, like, coven inside this dance academy. And from the notes of the girl that the dancer Patricia that left and talked with the psychiatrist, he finds out kind of some of the mythology behind it. And I played that clip already about the three mothers. So there's Mother Tenebrarum, the mother of darkness, Mother Lacrimarum, the mother of tears, and Mother Suspiriorum. This is another...
Horror!
Lots of horror words. Suspiriorum. This is the mother of sighs. So it feels like they're sacrificing something or letting the mother possess someone or something. Still not quite clear what was going on, but at the end, I think Susie was possessed or signifies Mother Suspiriorum.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It was not clear at all to me. At that point, I was so upset. Like, I didn't want to know anymore. I will say this, like, as a kid and, you know, throughout most of my life, witches, the idea of witches, pretty vanilla, you know, like, witches, who'd be scared of that? And now, like, after The Witch and now after Suspiria, like, it occurs to me how terrifying that concept really actually is. Like, like someone who has ferreted out that there is Satan out there and then been like, let's do this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm making a pact with the devil and I don't value human life.
And I don't value my life.
And basically, I don't value my life.
It's like the devil and witches have like a pimp ho relationship.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he treats them right, but they got a terrible life.
Yeah.
And they gave up everything for it.
Yeah. And so
he'll get you a nice diamond ring. He'll get you some supernatural powers, but you're still going to. Doesn't seem like a good trade off.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm not a hoe.
Weird sort. That's up for debate. There's this weird sort of like nihilistic power that, or like total lack of reverence for anything good or holy. And just like, it just made me think of this movie, just made me think of my daughter. Like, and just like, I don't want anything bad to happen to her. And if she ever got into, no more dancing.
Ballet? Like, no.
No. Which, oh man, yeah, very upsetting.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you talk about, yeah, in terms of witches, this is a little different in that it's stated that these mothers, these goddesses, are pre-god and pre-devil. So this is like pre-Judeo-Christian stuff, supposedly pagan religion around these mothers, and so it's much more pagan witches than, you know, witches that are making a pact with the devil. But I think that's actually probably what witches actually are. I think it's a pre-Christian thing usually.
Yeah, some sort of pagan. But, that doesn't take away from it.
Yeah.
It's just a...
I remember growing up when I lived in Tualatin in my friend's backyard. I can't remember how we came up with it or who told us, but we fully believe that this woman was a witch.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And that there was a shed in her backyard, and that's where she did all her witch stuff. And I remember kind of asking her or bringing it up, and she's like, yeah, I'm a witch. Like, it was disturbing. I was like, oh, God.
What the fuck?
Because my conception of witch was like, you know, Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
Like, she's gonna eat you up. So I was just a little kid. This was like kindergarten or earlier. And so.
What?
Yeah. I've always had kind of like in the back of my mind, like, yeah, witches ain't good. I don't like witches.
Yeah. I don't know. The concept seems so... so vanilla and so
well. It's cartoonish because you associate witches with Halloween,
a pointy hat, and laughing,
like,
and
hocus
a broomstick.
Pocus. Yeah, but not these witches.
God damn,
these are real witches. All right. I mean, there's a lot to talk about with the mothers, but I still don't really understand what's going on
yeah.
at all. And we can talk about kind of the finale, what happens at the end that kind of reveals, I don't know, whatever it reveals.
If anyone in the audience has a good grasp on the symbolism, the metaphor, how, like, I feel like I'm going to do a disservice to this movie in my attempts to, like, I had a strong feel that maybe this was like a nod to the Holocaust, or maybe this was a nod to like communism or the Soviet, you know, East Berlin, something strange, like all of the different things that this could stand for or was meant to stand for.
Yeah, I think what I came away with is that it was really about a political power struggle, and from people on the outside or even participants in it, you don't have all the information until it's too late.
Yeah, that's so, the doctor.
Yeah, and Susie. And like, Susie. She doesn't really know what's going on, but she's a participant.
Right, she's a willing participant and therefore going to pay for her actions.
Like when you vote for, I mean, it's election season coming up right now. Get out and vote. But and now I'm going to undercut why you shouldn't vote. But like you elect people and all you hear is kind of the surface level stuff. You don't know who these people really are or what's actually going on or what their motivations are.
I like this.
But you still vote.
This is what I've always felt, which is, yeah, you can vote for that guy, but he's just a different brand of evil.
Right.
Like, yeah, you're just gonna elect another evil over here. Like, you don't like that evil that's there, but
yeah.
What's coming ain't any better. Right. It may look better and feel better, but ultimately, weird shit.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the outside stuff that's going on politically during the storyline is the Bader Meinhof group, mm-hmm. or I looked it up on Wikipedia, the RAF, or Red Army faction in Berlin, which was like they're in West Berlin, but they're a very ultra-liberal group to the point where they, like, teamed up with Palestinian terrorists.
Whoa!
And to do, like, political action stuff. And so they're like, really, really towing the line and probably went over the line between political activism and actual terrorism, right. You know? Because they actually hijacked a plane or something like that.
God damn.
So it's a lot. I mean, then that's an interesting concept of, okay, we've got West and East Berlin, and the West is supposed to represent
freedom.
You know, the West and freedom, but even in the West, there's this faction and political faction that wants, you know, socialism and whatnot. So, anyways, it's just very, very confusing and like kind of nihilistic what's going on politically at the time, and that reflects in what's happening at this dance studio, is that there's an old philosophy and a new philosophy, and no one really knows what it is or what the actual effect of it is.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. We should probably touch on the body horror.
Oof.
So, it was genuinely shocking and disturbing.
Yeah, there's a lot of contortion and a lot of crunching.
Yeah, there's the thing, and I've talked about it before, of, like, the horror and the trailers using just people bending over backwards a lot,
mm-hmm.
and their back cracking as being like, oh, that's horrifying. It's like, and yeah, it is, but it's so overused.
Yeah, like Overlord.
Oh, yeah, Overlord, or like, oh, look, they're contorting in unusual ways, and that's just, that would hurt me, but they're supernatural, so that's really off-putting. It's like that, but to the nth degree. Just taking, if you could take up a person and ball them up in your hand and throw them across the room, like toss them hand to hand.
It was like watching
like Play-Doh. That's what,
you know, those,
this one scene was like.
You know those machines that they put cars in to crunch them down into cubes?
Yeah.
It was like watching an invisible car cruncher do that to a person.
And like close up on their, like, you know, organs starting to poke through skin, and
it was
just really, really disturbing.
It's making me ill right now.
Yeah. And it was somehow this girl was has some kind of psychological attachment between herself and Susie as Susie was doing the first dance. She was trying out for, like, the lead role, and this other girl had just quit. And this other girl got trapped in this room, and she was just tossed around like a rag doll, somehow attached to Susie, but not in a very clear way. Like, it wasn't a puppet way, because she was crumpled up like a used piece of paper, like an old McDonald's cheeseburger wrapper. And someone was like, nah, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Except it was a human body, and they played with it for like 10 minutes.
Ugh. Yeah.
And there was a couple times, and then when
there's a lot of hooks being inserted into people, and that was upsetting as well.
But even that, like, it didn't, I guess they did show that, but that was not near as disturbing as, like, just the weird stuff. And then later you see they're still alive and they're kept in this secret room, and there's like a stump lady, and it's just really, really disturbing.
Can I ask, just a kind of a little bit of a side note, you know those hooks that they used in this movie?
Yeah.
What are those? What are those? Those are featured fairly prominently. They're like a hook without a handle, right? And
yeah, I don't know.
They seem like they're feather thin and light, but also extremely strong. I'll figure out what those are and then report back.
They're just witch things.
Oof. Well, I've seen them in other movies. They're not like new.
I've never seen them before.
Okay.
The other thing of note between the body horror that is interesting is just the juxtaposition between the dance and body horror. Because, I mean, when you're dancing and doing stuff, it's basically like just contorting your body and doing, you know, sometimes unnatural things are pushing it to the limit, and then putting that right next to someone actually getting crumpled up like a rag doll is like very, there's already something about when you see a professional dancer, like a high quality dancer dancing, that's kind of semi disturbing. Cause you're like, wow, that looks
painful.
I've never seen someone do that. And I don't know how they do that. Their body looks weird because they've dedicated it to this one thing, to this one movement, and they can do it.
Yeah, and it's not a new concept at all, right? This is so, like, you know, I mean, ballet in general, like the things that these girls put themselves through, the pain, the amount of dedication they have to just ruining their body, really, you know. And you know, I mean, you think about it, Black Swan did this in spades already.
Yeah.
And really focused on the actual physical brutality of being a professional dancer.
Yeah.
And how it can really just wreck you physically.
Yeah, you can turn into a bird person.
Right.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, it's very scary.
Finally, the finale of the movie. So it all leads up to, very slowly, to this Black Sabbath kind of like horrifying ritual that Susie is being prepared for.
It's a dance.
And it's a dance. Lots of gore. And I listened to this interview with Dakota Johnson, and it was kind of funny what she had to say about it.
I think the most intense scene that I technically would have been the Sabbath, which is just like blood and hair and bodies everywhere, but I just thought it was so funny the whole time. Everyone was trying not to slip in the blood.
Oh yeah,
that was so funny. So walking down the stairs being like so stoic, but just like every once in a while having a little like slip.
The guts is all real.
And also, like, when we would start pick up the next day, because we shot it for 5 days, so you'd come in and there'd be like props department, like, remembering where to place the intestines, so just kind of walking around with the intestines, and everyone wearing these, like, slipper shoes and trying not to slip in the blood, and then, like, okay, no, move the intestines a foot this way.
Oh, so, my fucking God.
Can you imagine, like, just stepping back and just thinking, what would it be like to be an actor in that scene? Because it's just bonkers. Just blood everywhere. people flailing, just dancers just flailing.
Being crushed in
crazy ways. And just really... just tons of gore.
It makes sense that these people's reaction, because like if you're like you gotta keep your spirits up if you're making this movie. like this is a Joker kind of, you know, this is Heath Ledger in the Joker kind of role. Like if you didn't go light with it, you go way too dark with it.
Well, I mean, Dakota Johnson even said that she had to like go into therapy after this role just because it was. Took her to a dark place. Like she wasn't traumatized or anything by the experience, but she was like, yeah, I needed to work out some things.
Yeah. It's upsetting in a lot of ways. Yeah. Like it's like a clothes wringer for your soul. It just,
yeah. So the climax this Sabbath is showing Susie coming in and they're performing a ritual and we are introduced to, Helena Marcus. Which, why don't you describe what Helena Marcus looks like?
She looks like, well, for me, it's hard for me not to think of this because I play a lot of Rainbow Six. And one of the characters in Rainbow Six Siege is Thermite. And he has these super German goggles. Uh-huh. And these goggles are the kind of goggles, there's one goggle for each eye, right? And they stand out from your eye about an inch. And then there's some very thick tinted, like a welder's mask style glass on them. Mm-hmm. And this woman was a pile of flesh wearing those goggles. And I believe she was played by Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, she was also played by Tilda Swinton.
You would not be... There is no point to that being Tilda Swinton other than some sort of symbolic sort of casting intention. Like, that didn't need to be Tilda Swinton at all, because there's no way to tell.
Yeah, it could have been anyone. But she's a great actress, so why not have her do that?
But I guess. I mean, she didn't act, really. She just kind of wailed and was angry.
So, pile of flesh is putting it lightly. Like, literal, just kind of Jabba the Hutt kind of gooey 80s...
Glob,
but also... I don't know if you noticed this, but just random, like, little limbs. There's, like, a baby hand on her, like, attached to her arm.
Just,
like, flopping there. Like, somehow,
this point, I was...
she's this zombie character that's being kept alive by, I don't know, sewing on body parts of just random people and babies, apparently.
I was literally closing my eyes during this part of the movie. Like, I was actually doing what my wife does and, like, shading one eye or, like, closing one eye to be like, there's some safety behind my hand.
So we're introduced to her, and all the main characters are there. Susie, Tilda Swinton, and even Dr. Klemperer is there as a witness to the proceedings. And, you know, he's naked on the floor, and we even get to see his penis, which... You know, I feel cheated. It wasn't a real penis. It was a prosthetic.
That dick ain't good enough for you?
Well, because it was Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
It was lies.
It's good enough for me. You can show me your wrinkly old wiener anytime you want, Tilda.
Apparently on the set, she would flash her dick at people, which would be probably a lot of fun.
Yeah, provide that moment of levity that you need in a movie where young girls get thrown into trash compactors and crunched up.
Yeah, so they are doing this ritual, and Tilda Swinton's character says something to the effect of, something's not right, and then she immediately gets, like, mostly decapitated. And then the Helena Marcus dies, and then... Susie is possessed by this mother, and then the mother of death or something is walking around and literally just exploding followers of Helena Marcos.
Yeah.
But not everyone. Apparently one on IMDb, and not everyone that voted for her is killed. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe that they would think that you'd keep that close track, but just most of them were... just literally just exploded in blood. So blood was everywhere. There's intestines and whatnot. And then you just get... you take away that this Mother Suspiriorum is incarnated through Susie, and that she has to, like, forsake all her mother's... Oh, yeah, we never even talked about the storyline of where Susie came from, that she's from this religious Amish family in America, and her mother's on her deathbed.
In Iowa.
In Iowa?
Yeah.
Or Ohio.
Oh, maybe it was Ohio.
It was Ohio. And at a point in the finale, they're like, you have to kill your mother because you can't have any other mothers.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right.
Cool, bro.
All right.
You know, do you remember when we were in like high school or like junior high or maybe even before? I can't really recall. But when Harry Potter started coming out, people were like all worked up about like, no, my child can't read about this. This is of the devil.
Like, my mom doesn't feel comfortable that we played D&D a couple times, because that's darkness and that's of the devil,
dude.
Like, it's just fantasy.
You don't like Harry Potter and this exists? Like, your world is so... Oh man, the horrors I have to show you. Like, hey, like, you'll go running to Harry Potter and be like, "Thank you for existing." When you see Suspiria, like. I don't know why you wouldn't anyway. It's a delightful series full of fun and fantasy. But like, anybody who like throws a big fuss about the next very, very just okay thing for kids, like
innocuous fantasy stuff.
Yeah, we need to put the spotlight on the darkness that exists.
Yeah, need to make them watch The Witch and Suspiria.
Oof.
Here's the other main feature of the Sabbath is Susie is really enjoying the experience, because I mean, it's basically watching Dakota Johnson come for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like another part of witchcraft, of like, that's kind of the nefarious imagery of.
Yeah,
they want to be witches because they want to come. So women coming is just the worst possible thing.
Yeah, it's well, I mean, the basis...
It's the most disturbing thing you could possibly show is a woman coming.
Right, well, I mean, the fear of witches is kind of basically is like the patriarchy's fear of femininity, right? And like everything that goes with it.
Right.
And like, you know, your moon cycle and like, you know, and your sexuality, like you being a sexual being also, and how like foreign and alien that is to society and how they don't want to accept it and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's
a lot of like sexual undertones throughout this movie that it's very, I mean, the mother of sighs. I mean, that's basically,
yeah.
You know, mother of coming is how I interpret that.
Yeah.
Because after her first kind of possessed dance experience early on in the movie, she describes, like, it felt like fucking. And she's like, you mean like a man? He's like, and she's like, no, an animal.
Yeah. Like, that's right.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Really pagan.
Like. Yeah. Full pagan.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the reactions and like the connections, like the psychological or psychic connections between the witches or the older people in the dance studio and Susie as she's dancing. It's all like
a heavy nod.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They're really enjoying this.
Right.
Like, they're not just enjoying it. They're really enjoying this.
Everybody's coming in their pants.
Yeah.
Right now.
Lots of laundry to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, there's a lot this whole movie is made to make to address the fear or the discomfort around femininity.
Yeah.
And how witches stood for that, right?
Yeah.
How it's like.
And then another, I mean, one of the quotes that is said to Dr. Klemperer is that when women tell you the truth, you don't pity them. You tell them they are delusional, which is probably one of the thesis statements of the movie.
Yeah.
Of just, yeah, we were telling you and you didn't believe us.
Right.
So it's very, I mean, it's not over your head, like, it's not knock you over the head hashtag Me Too movement stuff, but it's much more deeper of like, yeah, this is disturbing to you because it's real and it's our experience,
right?
Kind of thing.
Yeah, the horror that you've subjected us to is real, and check it out.
Yeah. So the epilogue is basically Susie taking away Dr. Klemperer's... Well, first she tells Dr. Klemperer what happened to his wife, which is a nice little... the only closure you really get in the movie. And then she takes away all of his memory of everything that happened. You know, so he doesn't... He was a witness to everything, but then he's... All of that memory is removed.
Yeah.
So it's kind of dark.
And apparently, I wish that could have happened to me at the end of this movie.
Apparently there was a bonus scene after the credits where Susie makes some kind of gesture towards the camera, so I don't know what that meant, but we missed it. We didn't stay for it.
Just pointing at her vag.
What's up?
Wasn't there a chest vagina in this movie?
Yeah, there was a chest vagina.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, opens up her chest and... Yeah, I think that's what they were going for. It was either like... That was a chest vagina.
Yeah, only it was like way too... Like, it was overstated in every way. Like, it was
and
very...
bloody.
This is my flower, like my disgusting flower. It was so... It was so intentionally made disgusting and strange and, like, enlarged and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Petals. Lots of petals.
Yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, it was... It was... They...
Yeah, so, I mean...
Witches, man.
Like, like I said, there's a lot to unpack about this movie, and there wasn't anything that I was bothered by in terms of that took me out, except for one thing.
What was that?
I might cut this out, because it's not that important, but the man singing during the Sabbath, and they, like, dwelt on a close-up with him, was just... It was a little too long, and I'm like, what...
I remember
this
you
just dumb.
I remember you like saying something about that to me, and me. I was just by that time, I was like, "Fuck everything having to do with this movie." What are you talking about, the man? Like, good lord!
All right, what are your final recommendations?
I mean, so there is a subsection of people who very much enjoy like being challenged. You know, this movie is a challenge in a lot of ways. If you're up to the challenge of dealing with something that confronts a lot of very difficult to deal with material and has a lot of symbolism and could be interpreted in a lot of different ways, this movie is for you. If you feel uncomfortable listening to us talk about this movie, don't go see it. Just know that it's great.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, if you like art house horror movies, this is definitely in that genre. It's very reminiscent of The Witch and very reminiscent of, you know, Black Swan. It's just a much more extreme version of those movies that it's very disturbing and really delves into disturbing body horror and just off-putting thematic material. Doesn't really hold your hand at all.
Yeah, this is this fits into the most extreme subcategory of horror, which is like a Serbian film, this, like, movie.
Oh, I don't know if it goes that far. It's not quite torture porn. I would still describe it as body horror, but not.
I'm not describing it as torture porn. I'm describing the feeling of sitting through this movie is, it is the upper echelon of discomfort.
Mm.
To me, anyway. It didn't bother you the same way it did me, so maybe I'm wrong about that, but I mean, tell us what you think. Like, go ahead, go watch Suspiria and tell me how you just thought it was an easy movie, because more power to you, I guess. It was very upsetting to me.
All right, so yeah, go see it once, not more.
Yeah, I mean, it'll take, like, I don't fully understand this movie.
I don't think it'll be like a horror classic like the original is talked about.
Why not?
Because
the original exists?
Yeah, the original exists, and it's a different, from what I can read, I haven't seen it, but it's a completely different thing. Like, it's a much more about the style and the music in the original, and the original was much more kind of a slasher mystery kind of thing, and this was much more of like a psychological horror, just weird stuff.
I'm interested to see the first one now.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah. There's just a couple, like the just the lattice work of the plot is used in this one from the old one.
Yeah.
There's a dance studio and an American dancer coming in, and
witches.
I'm not even sure if there's witches in the first one, but probably.
The soundtrack is legendary.
Yeah.
From Goblin.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. Do with our review what you may. All right, moving on. Hey guys, if you're like me, you're fucking stupid, and you don't know how to build a basic website. That's where Squareplace comes in. Squareplace makes creating a website a cinch. They'll give you all of the templates, letters, and colors that you need to establish your web presence. Just call 888-555-1222, and Squareplace will send you out a paper workbook to fill out with the included ink dauber. Just mark the pictures that match what your company does, and we'll do the rest. You don't even need a computer. In 6 to 10 weeks, we'll send you a printed sheet of your website to pin to your house. That way, the web address is easier to remember. It's your house. Don't get confused by complicated website builders that require you to click and drag. What is that even? Try Squareplace today. That number again is 888-555-1222.
Here's tagline.
Okay, so these taglines wrote themselves.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily that they're that good or not. I don't want to oversell it.
I think let the listener decide for themselves. Okay.
Let us know. And hey, this is something that you can put on the listener survey on our website.
Like,
and tell us, are the taglines actually funny?
David specifically sucks.
Uh-huh. All right, I'll go first, because I know you'll have this one, and I get to steal it. Suspiria, witches be tripping.
I don't have that
you
one.
You don't have that one?
That's good, though. Witches be tripping. That boils it down into such a simple, fun, lighthearted. Witches be tripping. It's like the who's that guy who does all those Yo Mama's House movies? Tyler Perry. That's like the Tyler Perry tagline for the most serious fucking movie I've ever seen in my
life. Medea, witches be tripping.
Suspiria. Finally, a real life representation of Hollywood. What with all the weird accusations flying around and stuff now?
Mm-hmm.
What if it was just a big witch's coven of this shit happening? Little girls getting stuffed into garbage compactors.
All right. Suspiria. Volk me.
Tired of recommending Requiem for a Dream to your friends that you want to shock? We have the answer for you.
Suspiria. Bad Grandpa has a bad day.
He sure does. Suspiria. The nuclear holocaust is coming to a theater near you.
Suspiria. Mean Girls in Motion.
Suspiria. Who says femininity can't be toxic too?
Suspiria. Half the dicks are Tilda Swinton's.
Half?
Half of them.
Who has another dick? There's 100% of the dicks.
No, there's one other dick that's displayed. The cop. Don't you remember them poking the cop's wiener?
No.
They're laughing about it?
Ugh.
You don't remember that scene?
No.
You were very disturbed by it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
all right. That's all I got.
That's all. I have so many more.
Wow. Keep them rolling.
I'll do them quick. Suspiria. It felt like fucking an animal. Suspiria. Fuck that floor. I mean, there's a lot of scenes of just humping. Writhing and humping the floor.
Yeah, a lot of humping.
Okay.
Keep the laugh in.
Suspiria. Footloose, but more literal. Okay. Suspiria. Normal Tuesday night for women. No, I thought that was funnier than it was. And then just a couple, just playing off of Black Swan. Suspiria. Bleak Swan.
Bleak Swan.
Or
true.
Or Blacker Swan.
Oh, too real.
Or Suspiria. Swan Blacker.
Swan Blacker.
No. And then apparently my kids started typing on it because there's...
Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too many taglines. We can cut out the ones that don't work.
They all work.
Yeah.
All of them work.
Volk me.
Volk me. That one, maybe not.
Because it's the name of the...
Dance. No, I get it. Thank you very much for the explanation.
And fuck me. Yeah, just... It's an exclamation. Alrighty. Horror movie news. Did we have horror movie... Do we still not have a horror movie news thing?
No, we have it. Came from social media.
What?
Do we have a horror movie thing?
Yeah.
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 No, we don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He had no face!
Oh, wait. Here we go. Horror movie news.
I like that. That's... Horror movie news.
Okay, so the trailers we saw in this movie, that's always fun to talk about. Coming up.
I was like, that's Bill Burr. Bryce, I like that guy.
Yeah, so the front runner is, it's always kind of interesting to see what movies play in front of, you know, kind of special horror movies, mm-hmm. you know. And now that we've gotten through the Halloween season, there's not as many coming through, but The Front Runner is kind of a political drama starring Hugh Jackman, and Bill Burr made an appearance in the trailer.
Bryce, like I like that guy.
As a reporter, so that'll be interesting. The one horror movie that, well, there's two kind of horror movies, but the one actual horror movie was Anna and the Apocalypse, a zombie musical. And it's always a bad sign to me when they don't, I don't know, like people don't want to... I don't know how to feel about musicals, because there's been some pretty successful ones recently, but Hollywood is very coy about musicals still, because they don't want to show you or play you anything in the trailer for it. Like, if you watch the La La Land trailer, there's, like, nothing in terms of the music or people actually singing in it. Wasn't it you that went and you're like, this is a musical?
Yeah.
And was surprised by it?
No, that wasn't me. I never watched... Look, there's two people... Two kinds of people in this world. People who enjoy musicals and normal people. And God damn it, are musicals annoying to me.
I love musicals. I grew up on musicals.
Yeah, like I said.
You just haven't seen the right ones.
I've been forced to sit through many musicals. Many.
You would probably like Book of Mormon at the very least.
Yeah, probably. So even in like Matt Stone and Trey Parker's musicals, of which they have a couple, mm-hmm. like pretty good. Still wouldn't put them like still wouldn't outweigh a good movie. You know, it's just like yeah, this is good for a musical, like which means this is at least a solid six. Yeah. Even the best one is just a six for me.
Yeah. So, anyways, that might end up being pretty cringy.
Yeah.
Looks like more on the High School Musical spectrum of musicals.
You have an interesting way. Like there's science behind your judgment of movie trailers. Like, like you have some sort of little like formula in your head of how it's supposed to go and what makes it good or bad. Like, oh, this is definitely a bad movie. Why is that, Bryce? And then you go into some long explanation that usually makes good sense. Like I'm not discounting it. It has held true.
Yeah. It usually has to do with like, okay, who's in it, who's directing it, and what did they show and not show in the trailer?
Right. Michael Bay trailers show everything.
Yeah. Well, just because it's Michael Bay, you know what you're getting into.
Right.
It's like, okay, lots of explosions.
Well, that's really not necessarily why. It's just a... It's circumstantial.
I think the moment where I knew I had it dialed in was when I watched the trailer for The Mummy, the 90s.
Yeah.
The Mummy.
Yeah.
With Brendan Fraser. I was like, I know exactly what that movie's going to be. It's going to be an action adventure that's goofy because it's got Brendan Fraser in it. And it's like... It's going to be, yeah, just a certain level of quality and goofiness, and that's exactly... I just remember walking out of seeing that movie, and I was like, yep, I knew exactly what that was. Like, it's not my favorite, it's not the worst, it's just right there.
Let's be very clear here. How do you feel about that movie?
I don't like it.
Oh! Not that much. Oh! That's a treasured childhood memory for me.
Yeah.
That movie is just fun and good.
Yeah, it's fun and good, and I just don't care for those types of movies.
Yeah, I don't... Man. Yeah, it's been said on this show before. I don't want to walk away from a movie saying, huh, that was a romp.
I mean, it was no Face-Off.
Well, nothing's really any Face-Off. Like, Face-Off and maybe The Rock... That's about as face-off-y as I can get.
Yeah.
Without being face-off.
The only other horror movie that was kind of a horror movie was a sci-fi horror thriller called Prospect.
I don't remember much about that trailer.
It was the astronauts. They're on some kind of alien planet and harvesting some kind of, you know, unobtainium.
I will always love that concept. I just went and watched Moon yesterday. Man, great movie. Sam, what's his name?
Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell. Great. Like, playing a whole movie by himself.
Yeah.
With only Kevin Spacey's voice to talk to mm-hmm. and himself. Great movie.
So now that movie's problematic.
What, Moon?
Yeah, because it's got Kevin Spacey in it.
Oh, I see what you mean, problematic. I was like, why? Because of cloning? I agree.
Couple actual news items. Bloody Disgusting reports that LeBron James has a pending deal to produce a remake of Friday the 13th with Vertigo Entertainment.
What the fuck?
On my list of things that don't need to be.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah. Didn't they just do a remake of Friday the 13th?
Yeah. Yeah, not too many years ago. Like 2014, I think.
Yeah.
Vertigo Entertainment, as in like, no, it would have said DC Entertainment if it was the Vertigo that's
no
tied to DC.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Whatever.
All right. Would you, if LeBron James is starring in the movie, would you actually be scared for LeBron James if someone was trying to kill him? I feel like a 7 foot.
He's like, clearly athlete. Gonna be Jason.
Oh, is he?
Clearly.
All right.
He's a mountainous giant of a man. He would have to be Jason in that movie.
All right, there you go. All right, the iconic Exorcist steps in Washington, D.C. may soon become an official historic landmark. So the steps, they're located in a Georgetown neighborhood of Washington, D.C., and they're made famous after being prominently featured in The Exorcist, where the dude is thrown down the steps.
Oh.
So it's been a popular tourist destination for horror fans, with many reenacting Father Karras's death scene for fun photos.
Oh, man, how cool would it be to, well, at first I'm like, how cool would it be to live near something like this? And then I go, God damn it, that would be annoying after a while.
Yeah. If you had to, like, walk down those steps and there's, like, people at the top, like, excuse me, we're trying to take a photo.
And you're like,
just, like, their friend at the bottom of the stairs, like, oh, God damn
I'm trying to live my life. Thanks.
I've got to go to Starbucks, so can you make it quick? Yeah, so that's the only real news. There's been rumors about another Nightmare on Elm Street movie, like Robert Englund was just recently on some TV show.
Goldbergs.
And he said like he'd be up for another movie, and it sounded more like, yeah, sure, yeah, I would do it. More like he could use a paycheck than anyone was actually asking him to.
Yeah.
And then I think the original actress said she was up for it too. So it's kind of one of those things where you get a couple of the actors saying like, yeah, we're kind of on board.
I need
and
money.
And if there was enough, like, you know, Kickstarter or internet upswell, maybe it would happen. But
juju,
I'm not betting on it.
Well, Wes Craven's dead.
Yeah,
and
I saw like pictures of Robert Englund, as Freddy on the Goldbergs, and he looked very bloated. Just like looked like a really weird low quality Freddy.
He's been drinking.
Like no one. I don't think anyone really wants to see that.
Well, I mean, yeah, sure, I'll see it. Whatever. Like, it's not like it's a sacred.
Yeah.
There's been enough desecration to the series.
We still got to watch some of those.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the
Dream Warriors?
Warriors?
No, I still haven't. I need to work my way. I want to hit like the big ones. So like Dream Warriors, the reboot, the 90s reboot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
those are the big ones that I hear.
And the what am I thinking of? The making of documentary.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all we got. Thanks for listening. Again, we're currently surveying our listeners to learn more about you. Please take a few minutes and visit our website, horrormovietalk.com, and click on our listener survey link found on the main nav bar on our website or on this post. It's on the sidebar as well. If you like the show, share it with a friend. It's pretty much the only way we're going to grow, and we really appreciate it when you do that.
What are you reviewing next week? Overlord?
Yeah, next week we should be doing Overlord.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
More backbending action.
I think this is going to be a much lighter, much more fun, adventurous sort of movie than Suspiria.
Yeah.
Although just about anything, Schindler's List probably be a lot lighter. So, not joking.
All right, thanks again. Subscribe and leave a review, all that stuff. This was.
Hang on, we're doing that again.
Okay,
that was so low energy.
Okay.
All right, guys. All right, guys.
Thanks. All right. It's Bryson David signing off of Horror Movie. Oh,
thanks again, guys. We really appreciate you listening, and we want you to have a good week. And
we love you.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.